Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Good afternoon, and this is not Gary Wellings. This is Pastor Richard Dietering. I am filling in for Gary today. Gary's out on assignment. He is in Mexico City. Out of all the places I would want to be, Mexico City is not one of them. Being in Mexico City, I would rather be exfoliated by barbed wire and dipped in alcohol than go to Mexico City. I am joined today with a guest, Wendy Day. I know her. I originally met her back at a Tea Party event quite back in 2010, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Lansing. And it seems like every time I'm filling in for someone, Wendy crosses my path. So she's my official go-to person now for when I'm filling in. So welcome along, Wendy.
Thanks. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm great. I have a little bit of business I have to take care of. They've given me so much busy work on this show right at the beginning of the show. It's spring, and with warmer weather, now is the time to get started on those outdoor projects. Call the Rock Shop on Gottfredson Road, 734-455-5560. Now, there's a lot of printing here, but I have to talk about the Rock Shop a little bit. They have everything. When I went out there once, I was looking for a statue to put in our garden. We have a Grecian-type garden. And they had one out there. I mean, no matter what you want, you can go out there, you can find it for your garden. They're fantastic. So try to make it out to the Rock Shop. They're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 7. You can call them again at 734-655-5560 or contact them on their website at www.rock-shop.com. And trust me, folks, if you go out there and check out their showroom, you will not be disappointed. They have just a ton of rocks and statuary for your garden. They can make the average garden look fantastic. Take it from somebody who has done business with them. Also, tomorrow morning, from 9 to 10 in the morning, on Let It Rip, our very own Theron X will be on it. So he's always fun to watch when he goes on Let It Rip. He's always the life of the party on that show. Mm-hmm. So if you get a chance to turn it on, please do so. We also have another guest, and I'm going to actually turn this over to Wendy to talk to this guest. His name is John Connolly. He is running for county commissioner in Livingston County. I want to say Washington or Washington because that's where I'm from. But we don't have a lot of great conservatives in Washington. We have some, but not a lot of great ones. But John is from Livingston County, and he's running for county commissioner. How you doing?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Great.
Yeah, we're so glad that you could join us today, John, on this beautiful day as you're campaigning hard and running from event to event. So thanks for taking the time to come here. Although running from event to event is nothing new for you because you have been a man about town in Livingston County, making a difference in the lives of people in Livingston County for your entire life. And now you've jumped into the county commissioner race, running against an incumbent, but you're no stranger to being the underdog and the insurgent as you served on the Brighton School Board. And anyone who's been a conservative on a school board knows that it is not an easy place to serve. So we're so glad you're here, John. Why don't you give our listeners, just tell them a little bit about yourself and maybe why you're running for county commissioner.
Thank you, Wendy. It's a pleasure, number one, to be here today, and thank you for having me. I've been in Livingston County, Brighton resident my entire life. And I've been a committed local person. And these last years for me have been a time kind of troubling sometimes where I saw things that needed to get done. And sometimes they got addressed and many times they didn't get addressed. And it's, again, it's been a privilege to be on the school board. I'm on my elected second term. I think I'm in 6 years now. And I've got a couple years left on that. So I plan on carrying both terms. Mm-hmm. I plan on maintaining my school board position and then also winning the seat for Livingston County Commissioner District 9, which includes Green Oak, all of Green Oak Township and a portion of Brighton Township.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty big area. And my vision is that I want to bring forward some things that I learned while working in the school systems that, let's put it this way, they claim it can't be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a believer that it can be. And there are programs within our county, and as simple as a internet, we'll call it a safety program, It doesn't exist in Livingston County, and it's a crime prevention kind of thing. But yet they decided recently to fund a sidewalk that cost $250,000 instead of having things that would be good for our society. And anybody that says that we don't have issues we can deal with regarding, let's just say, drugs in schools, for me, I think that they've got their head in the sand. And I'm a guy that will take on that project and do our best to get our kids educated, to make good choices, and not just say that, oh, just we'll just see what happens. I don't believe in that. I think that we as adults, and we'll call it with a vision, can work on that stuff. And I've worked on programs now that are actually county going to go countywide, and that's developing. So as a on the Board of Commissioners, I think it'll give me a chance and kind of a platform to discuss it with other very intelligent commissioners and kind of bring them, we'll call it our way. And I say it our way because there's a whole bunch of us that believe we can make a difference.
Well, and what I think is great about you, John, is that, you know, we have a couple of different types of politicians typically. The ones that kind of go along to get along, the go along to get along gang. And then you have, you know, maybe the bomb thrower insurgents. And sometimes if you're the only conservative sitting on a board, that's the best you can do is try to stir up a little trouble and cause draw attention to your issues. What you've managed to do, though, is find that sweet spot where you not only can bring your principled views to the table, but also because you've been such a servant leader, be able to actually get things done and not always, you know, to get recognition or to actually never to get recognition, but not always even in the light of day. Sometimes you do things that are a little under the radar because the number one goal that I've seen in you is to get things actually done.
And fortunately, it takes a lot of people to get it done. And I've been able to use the different talents in different areas. And sometimes they don't want to be out there. They don't even – and I've been able to learn from them and then get the projects handled. For instance, our school system was once slated with that of Detroit when it comes to finances. And I'd gone to the state of Michigan, met with our department heads and our superintendent of the state of Michigan schools, Mr. Flanagan and his group, and they basically had given Brighton an ultimatum. And I was on that core group, and many people said we couldn't fix it, and but we buckled down, did our deal. Now Brighton Area Schools is rated 21st in the state in a recent national polling, and now in the top 3% in the nation. While Michigan schools overall are ranked about 40th in the nation.
And it's amazing because Livingston County is a great place to live.
It is.
Traditionally, we've had lowest taxes in the state. They've done a good job managing our budget. But there's always ways to improve upon, and there's always things we need to discuss when resources are limited or even dwindling potentially.
And again, student enrollment is a way that resources dwindle because the public school systems work off of per pupil funding. So my vision for our county, and again, as I look globally, I'm expanding myself now, not just for Brighton, but looking at it for countywide, is I believe Livingston County represents a place that should be the most sought after in the state of the 83 counties. I think that we have a nucleus of people and not only good hearts, but hardworking people that want to have and preserve a conservative, moral, ethical life. And have a good place to call home.
Well, we're so glad you came out today. And
I would
encourage you all, all of our listeners, to check out John Connolly's website. Again, he's running for Livingston County Commissioner in District 9. He is running against an incumbent, but he is a man for such a time as this, and I think he's going to be a great commissioner. So will you give everyone your website, John, so they can check it out?
Yep, just johnconnolly.com. And it's JohnConnolly.
Only one N. I want to stipulate, it's John Connolly. Only one N. You're not related to the Connolly in Washington, right?
Nope. Just a
not
lowly
in word or deed or name.
came from a farming community. My family settled in Brighton in the 1830s, so I'm very fortunate, kind of an original Livingston County person.
John Connolly, CONNELY.com. Go check out his website. Get in touch with him. He's going to be a great commissioner, and make sure you get out and vote for him on August 2nd.
Thank you for coming in, John. I really appreciate it. Well, we have got to go to a break, and we'll be back right after these messages.
I'm I'm Joe Gammon, here to tell you that Pat Kelly, our expert on heating, cooling, and self-start generators, has opened a new business called KNB Energy Solutions. With a new, beautiful new office and warehouse in Livonia, Pat Kelly is ready to handle all your HVAC problems and questions. And when you're wanting to install a new self-start generator, he handles only the best American-made brands with the finest warranties available. You've heard Pat Kelly do this radio show with me many times, and many of you have used his services and trust his expertise. He is back in business and needs your calls to make it grow. If you're in line for an air conditioning check, Pat Kelly's service technicians will make sure you don't have a problem on the hot summer days, and it's a pretty smart thing to do. Give Pat Kelly a call at 734-666-0101. That number again is 734-666-0101.
Experience and quality. These are two important words when it comes to auto body repairs. The last thing you need is more stress. That's why City Body on East Cross Street in Ypsilanti's historic depot town offers the finest quality collision repair service available. And they guarantee their work in writing. City Body can accommodate any collision or glass replacement need. As Ypsilanti's oldest and most recognized repair shop, City Body wants each customer's visit to be a positive experience, and they work diligently towards that goal. Customer services include free loaner cars for qualifying customers, rental cars, hassle-free insurance claims, drive-in estimating with estimates given in 30 minutes, and even towing if your car is undrivable. City Body, 20 East Cross Street in Ypsilanti's Depot Town, and open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 734-482-4737 or visit citybody.com.
It's summer, and with warmer weather, now is the time to get started on those outdoor projects. Call the Rock Shop on Goffertson Road, 734-455-5560. Whether you're looking for wall stones, paving stones, or new statuary for your garden, have a fun time and save a ton of money at the Rock Shop on Goffertson Road. Call 734-455-5560. You can also get a full selection of wood mulches, rocks, and garden soils, and all the stone wall products that you would need. Stop by to see all of the amazing products from Technoblock, the premier manufacturer of paving stones and retaining wall products. Check out the showroom and gardens Monday through Friday, 9 to 7, and Saturdays, 9 to 5. Call 734-455-5560 or go to the website at rock-shop.com. rock-shop.com. Set your garden wishes in stone at the Rock Shop on Goffertson Road.
Let's face it, your website needs to not only look amazing, but work great too. At Waypoint Arts, we design and develop each project from the ground up, built around your business. If you're looking for a web design that'll deliver that wow effect to your guests, then let us get started on your website today. Need a design for a poster or flyer? No problem. Visit us online at waypointarts.com or drop us a line at 855-WAY-ARTS. Waypoint Arts, web design around you.
Greasy Skillet. Greasy Skillet. Greasy Skillet.
Howdy, dear hearts. This is Radio John D., and I'd be mightily obliged to you for tuning in to my show, Greasy Skillet. We'll take the first exit off that Top 40 interstate in favor of the two lanes, back roads, wagon ruts, and dog trots in search of the forgotten and overlooked roots music of America and beyond. Bring along the whole family and stay a spell, won't you?
Greasy Skillet, Saturday nights at 8 on Wham! You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And again, this is Pastor Rick Dieter, and Gary's not in today. He's out on assignment in Mexico City. I want to take this time now just to wish everyone out there that's a father, Happy Father's Day. I mean, Happy Father's Day if you're a father, or if you've ever had a father, or if you know somebody who's a father. Just Happy Father's Day to all of you out there. I was talking a while back to a friend of mine. He's a fire chief, and he said that Mother's Day and Father's Day is probably one of the busiest days for them next to Halloween. And I asked him why. He says, mostly it's kitchen fires. Caused by kids cooking dinner for their parents on Mother's Day and Father's Day. So I found this quaint little song, the Father's Day song. I thought I'd share it with you all before we got into the depth of our show. So here's the Father's Day song.
Every day you keep me safe and warm and loved and fed. But today's your special day, it was my turn instead. So I got up at 5 a.m., I've been working hard since then. Some things I didn't get quite right, next year I'll try again. Just for you I did my best to cut my own hair. Some places came out pretty good and some are kind of bare. I washed all your nicest clothes, but the washer wasn't free. So I used the dishwasher, pretty smart of me. Remember, no one's perfect, every kid has faults. Remember, it's the thought that counts more than the results. My heart was in the right place, even though I did it wrong. It was all to say on Father's Day, my love for you is strong. I vacuumed really quietly, I didn't use the power. I cleaned your dirty iPad screen, I held it in the shower. I painted all the ceilings, it was easy with the mop. Now the carpet's painted too with cool rainbow drops. I answered all your work emails with just leave me alone. And we gave a prince from Scandinavia a loan. I watered all the houseplants with the garden hose. I forgot to turn it off, sometimes that's how it goes. Remember, no one's perfect, every kid has faults. Remember, it's the thought that counts more than the results. My heart was in the right place, even though I did it wrong. It was all to say on Father's Day, my love for you is strong. Your car shiny inside and out with lots of olive oil. Who knew that oatmeal splatters up so high and far on boil? I tried to make you orange juice, but I spilled it on the floor. I tried to fry you bacon, we don't have a stove no more. Since you can't really cook this week, I called the pizza place. I emptied out the fridge and freezer so there's enough space. They should be here anytime, 2 dozen pizza pies. I paid with your credit card, I hope that you're surprised. Remember, no one's perfect, every kid has faults. Remember, it's the thought that counts more than the results. My heart was in the right place, even though I did it wrong. It was all to say on Father's Day, my love for you is strong. My heart was in the right place, even though I did it wrong. It was all to say on Father's Day, my love for you is strong. It was all to say on Father's Day, my love for you is strong.
So happy Father's Day out there to all the fathers. And when your kids decide to water all the houseplants with the garden hose and forget to turn off the hose, remember they did so with love. So happy Father's Day. Before we go on our bottom of the hour break, we have Joe on the line. We'll get Derek to pull up. Joe, he has some candidates he wants to talk about that's running for state rep. How you doing, Joe?
Good. How about you today?
I am doing well.
That's good. Yeah, since you dealt with a candidate at the top of the hour, I wanted to, and since you're a pastor, bring up the Black Robe Regiment. The British feared them because they were preaching for freedom and revolution, and now the left fears real Christians and the current Black Robe Regiment of pastors who are running.
I'm going to cut you off right there. I want to thank you for that because I am a member of the Black Robe Regiment.
That's good. There's Jeff Noble, who's a pastor. He's running. Pat Kolbeck mentioned him. He's running for state rep from the Canton area. There's Pastor Jeff Jones, who's going to take on Debbie Dingell for Congress. You could go to JeffJones4Congress.com. Look him up. Help him out. Support him. This is a weird election year. Whether you like or hate Trump and Hillary, it's going to be weird. We got a chance to steal this seat this time.
Yep. You know, this. I was telling Wendy earlier, this election reminds me a lot of the election. I don't know if you know me. I'm really interested in American history. Reminds me a lot of the election of 1824. That election was not won by the popular vote. It was not won by the Electoral College. That was a real bizarre year. This will go in the records as being just as bizarre as that one, I think, when it's all said and done. So, yeah, this is important for conservatives to get out and vote. I want to thank you for your call.
Take care.
Take care. Okay, over the past week, there's been something that's been on the news quite a bit. And I wanted to talk about this a little bit from a Christian perspective as a pastor, but also how it's affecting us nationally. And that was the tragedy in Orlando, Florida. Mm-hmm. It was an act of terrorism. Let's not mix words. That's exactly what it was. It was an attack of radical Islam. And I think we need to stipulate more than just saying it was an act of terrorism. We need to point out that this was an act of radical Islamic
There's not a
nature.
Lot of Baptists committing terrorism, just to clarify.
No. I will sit there and say there are Christians out there that I say give Christians a black eye. The Westboro Baptist Church, I will tell you, I am totally not in agreement on how
they do things. Well, the Bible says you'll know them by their fruit.
Right.
And so that makes me have a lot of questions, more questions than them about than answers about their Christianity.
Exactly. And people bring that up and they'll say, well, we preach the Bible and everything else. But when you read that verse in Matthew where it says you'll know them by their fruit, they're comparing a good tree to a bad tree. And it says a good tree will produce good fruit, and a bad tree will produce bad fruit. And somebody who stands outside of a cemetery and attacks a family who just lost a son in the military, I would say is not good fruit. But there, so that's where the extent of where Christians go today is in a bad way. But Islam, in a bad way, goes to murder. And this is exactly what happened in Orlando, and this is something that cannot be condoned by anyone, the taking of lives. We as Christians, we may not agree with the homosexual lifestyle. We may actually sit there and live on the Bible where it says that it's a sin. But we are also told to love, and we are to love everyone and without exception, even the Islamic radical terrorist we are to love. And that gets hard sometimes. And I'll share a story with
for,
that.
Especially for me, I'm like, I hate those guys.
No, you see, you can't. You got to love
it. I know.
It says to love your enemies is what our Lord tells us.
I know.
And so, but this is a definite act of terrorism. And I wanted to read a book. And now this book, I strongly suggest to everyone out there, it's called The Truth Behind the Headlines, The Unholy War, America, Israel, and Radical Islam. It's written by by an archaeologist whose dig sites I've been on, and actually he's starting a new dig site out in Qumran. His name is Randall Price, and he wrote just after the attack. I want you to understand, he wrote this before ISIS. He writes, from the American point of view, the war with terrorism has nothing to do with religion, and it is not a war with Islam. However, from the Islamic viewpoint, it is all about religion. And every radical Muslim spokesman refers to the war as an attack on their religion. As soon as the United States began to respond to the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, numerous Islamic websites on the internet featured anti-American slogans such as World War III, Islam at War with the USA. While the United States has proclaimed the war is on terrorism and not on Islam, Osama bin Laden has stated they came out fighting Islam with the name of fighting terrorism. And Osama said that on October 7th, 2001, just shortly after it. So he even recognized that we're saying it's a war on terrorism. He's saying, no, this is their war on Islam, their religion. If bin Laden is right and the United States is at war, he continues to write, with Islam, then there are many other races, religions, and nations around the world. Even while the terrorists were attacking America, radical Islams in northern Nigeria were killing Christians in the city of Jos after the Nigerian government imposed Sharia law on its majority Christian population. The violence included 3 days of mass murders and the burning of churches. Radical Muslims are likewise engaging in a holy war against Coptic Christians in Egypt, Hindus in Kashmir, Baha'is in Iran, Catholics in southern Philippines, and Christians in East Timor. For the past 18 years, a particularly vivid example of external jihad has been demonstrated in Sudan for the entire world to see. The Sudanese government in northern Sudan imposed a genocidal policy of Islamization and Arabization of the African people in the south part of the country, forcing them to convert to Islam or suffer massacres, mutilations, gang rapes, bombings, pillaging, blockades, and humiliation, as well as humanitarian aid being blocked, and slavery. For this reason, the Coalition for the Defense of Human Rights, an organization supporting those persecuted by militant Islam, states that radical Islamism is a world ideology, fielding a world terror army, which oppresses millions with racist ideology that seems that deems non-Muslims less than fully human. And then Professor Price.
Wham! Talk 1600.
Hey, my blood brothers of freedom. This is Ted Nugent.
Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse.
God bless Ann Arbor and Wham! Radio. I started doing interviews on Wham! Radio around 1966. I celebrate and promote the God-given individual right as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, for us to defend ourselves, to keep and bear arms. And just to make sure everyone understands what we the people understand, keep can only mean one thing. That's it's mine and you can't have it.
Wham!
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. Investigators looking into last Sunday's deadly nightclub shooting in Orlando are poring over surveillance video for more clues about gunman Omar Martin.
They've also interviewed at least one member of the mosque where the killer attended in Florida, and they're checking on his finances too, including the fact that he put his wife, now his widow, on his insurance and his bank accounts in the run-up to this attack.
Fox's Steve Harrigan. Hot and dry conditions continue to fuel Arizona's Cedar Fire, hampering firefighters' efforts. John Pearson of the Timber West Mesa Fire Medical Department says high temperatures are expected through Monday, but there is hope.
And then we may see a little bit of a cooling trend, at least some slight increases in RHs or relative humidities, and that will be in our favor for sure.
Big wildfires also burning in Santa Barbara County, California, and near Albuquerque, New Mexico. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
You be the judge of the Wayne County Circuit Court candidates at the Plymouth Community Forum Monday, June 27th. The location is Plymouth District Library, 223 South Main Street in Plymouth, and it'll take place from 7 to 8:45 p.m. The Plymouth Community Forum is a nonpartisan, non-biased group dedicated to providing a fair representation of topics concerning the Plymouth community. You can learn more by emailing arne.pcf@gmail.com. The Washtenaw County Vietnam Veterans Association Chapter 310 is inviting service members, veterans, their families, and loved ones to attend a 4th of July celebration at 2 p.m. on July 4th on the grounds of the Ypsilanti Township Civic Center near the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, 7200 South Huron River Drive in Ypsilanti. This event is open to veterans of all ages, branches of service, and all periods of service. It is also open to those currently serving and to those who serve the nation by supporting those who are or who have been in military uniform. A picnic lunch with beverages, yard games for all ages, face painting, musical entertainment, and a bonfire with s'mores will be provided. Note that no fireworks will be used or allowed on the property to protect those who may still be sensitive to loud noises. Bring your picnic blanket and or yard chairs and get ready for some good old-fashioned fun. For more information, call 734-260-2211. To review these events and others, you can always visit Wham's website at www.whamradio.com. and click on Community Events.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108.
Dr. Michael Singleton offers family dentistry you can trust with over 20 years of experience in all areas of dentistry. Multiple ways to enhance your smile, from simple whitening to complete veneers, same-day crowns, laser cavity detection, preventative, restorative, and advanced cosmetic dentistry. It's tomorrow's dentistry today. Open Monday through Saturday at 7 a.m. with late evening hours to fit your schedule. Contact Dr. Michael Singleton at 1081 North Ann Arbor Street in Saline, Michigan, or call 734-429-7415 or visit them on the web at singletonsmiles.com.
Don't miss London Calling with your host, Dan Martin.
I'll play the best of the original British invasion and beyond.
Everybody go dancing around tonight.
Nothing but the local DJ.
Hi, I'm Dan Martin.
He said he had some songs to play.
There's one life and there's no return and no deposit.
London Calling, Saturday night at 10.
On Wham!
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
is Pastor Dietering. We're back. I am sorry. I read right into that break. I'm using the hand-me-down earphones of the Wham studio, and I couldn't hear the music leading into the break, and my eyes were on the page I was reading from and not on the on-air thing, so I read right into it. Professor Price finishes that whole statement where he's talking about the attack of radical Islamic across the world. He finishes with this sentence, "So, is the United States waging a war with Islam? If it isn't, it should be." Mm-hmm. And we see that more and more in this country. We see, you know, we go back to 2001, the mm-hmm. attack on the World Trade Center, but we have to remember, we were attacked before that. Mm-hmm. The coal, the first attack mm-hmm. on the Trade Center. Mm-hmm. We have been a target of radical mm-hmm. Islam, now going back far longer mm-hmm. than 2001. Matter of fact, as a free nation, outside of England, the first country we went to war with were Muslims mm-hmm. In Tripoli. They were kidnapping our ships, kidnapping our sailors, holding them for hostage, killing them, turning them into slaves. So our relationship with Islam from the very founding of this country has not been good. It's been rather rocky. So we can sit there and say they're trying now, with the population of Islam growing in this country, they are growing a little brave. And now they're making movements to literally bring jihad to the streets of America, and they're doing so. Unfortunately, we are also getting tied, as Christians, we're getting tied into the same radicalization as what they think of when they talk Islam. You know, they think that Christians, a lot of people actually believe that we as Christians would sit there and murder people
well,
that are gay.
Because we won't bake cakes.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, so they're equating, you know, there's two separate issues. I mean, they're turning this into, it's a red herring to even bring Christians into this because they won't, you know, the president doesn't want to mutter radical Islamic terrorism, doesn't want to talk about it. And if you cannot address your enemy, if you will not identify who the enemy is, and they call it workplace violence. And we've had several terrorist attacks on American soil that they choose to ignore and not clarify who is actually committing them and why. And they'll do anything to avoid that, including trying to, the New York Times had an editorial trying to link Christians somehow. And I saw a video on Facebook, somehow this is the Christians' fault, which, you know, I'm hoping that you'll join me. It is time to just call a lie a lie. And when they say this stuff, as Christians, we're like, well, you know, we try to like, well, we love everybody, and we try to qualify it, and we try to, you know, be gentle and soft. And I think it's time to just say, you know what? No. You are lying about us. That is not true. And we will not stand for it anymore. And we're going to call a lie a lie. And that's what they're doing. They're lying about what Christians are, what we stand for, what we believe in. They're over across in the Middle East throwing people who are gay off of buildings with their hands tied behind their back. And we're having huge riots because somebody doesn't want to bake a cake for someone else. It is, talk about first world problems. I mean, this is crazy.
Well, you know, and you hit something very important here is the president is not willing to call out the enemy for who he is. As I just read from Randall Price. Now, Randall Price, the professor, he lives in Israel. He lives in the Middle East. And so he's seeing all the Middle East news, all the Middle East webs, all the Middle East newspapers mm-hmm. and TV. And Islam is calling this a religious war. So if we do not recognize that we are fighting a religious war at this point mm-hmm. with Islam, we can't win it. Because if we're fighting an ideology and we don't recognize that ideology, we don't know what mm-hmm. we are actually fighting. The president came out and says, what good would it do to call it out for what it is? Well, they're
it's a
already
first step of maybe winning.
Yeah, it's the first step. Exactly. Know? The enemy's already calling it what it is. They're calling it a religious war. They are against our ideals. They're against our freedom. They're against democracy. They're against a republic. They're against anything that is good in this country. The radical Islam, and I'm going to stipulate, the only difference between radical Islam and regular Islam is the imam. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. Depending on what the imam is preaching from the stand in the mosque is going to depend on what they believe.
Well, and if you were in, let's take the Orlando guy. They've made this so convoluted. Well, now he was gay. Well, he was, you know, somehow they've connected the dots back to Christians. But I can tell you, if everything in his life was the same, he was tormented, he was potentially gay, all those things were the same, but he was a Baptist and not following a radical or a Methodist or whatever, not following a radical jihadist movement and religion, then guess what?
It would be all over the press.
Well, he may not have baked a cake, but he probably would not have shown up and shot everybody.
Right.
I mean, so really, we need to call it what it is and not let them frame who we are as Christians. They love to do that. And you know what? I'm tired of being lied about. And I'm tired of them trying to tell us that we need to change, that we are the bad guys when we are absolutely not. And they don't even have the guts to call the bad guys and point them out for who they are.
Well, here's a better way, or at least the way that I would state this. I don't know if it's any better. We live in a free nation. We can disagree on things.
Sure.
We can disagree on who to vote for. We can disagree on who we want to do business with.
Sure.
We are a free nation, or supposed to be a free nation, right? If we disagree with someone's lifestyle, if we disagree with someone's political stance, we don't go out and shoot them.
That's right.
If we don't want to be involved in their wedding ceremony because we do not find it appropriate in our faith to do so, then under religious rights, we should have that right. But because we disagree with them doesn't mean we go out and shoot them.
And we don't.
Exactly.
Frankly, I mean, with rare exception, with mentally ill people, we don't.
And for people who want to make the shooter, and I am not going to or allow his name to be said on this show because I'm not going to let him be
right.
martyred.
Sure.
I'm just not going to do it. But he went out of his way through text and messages and everything else to let everyone know that he was doing this for religious purposes.
And they're like, oh, we don't know why he did it. Really? The 911 calls, the text, the Facebook posts weren't enough to tell you?
So, yeah. But the bigger question now that this is all going on is the right wants to make it about what it is. This is a war on terrorism. This mm-hmm. is a war on radical Islam. And I guess just rather than just saying terrorism, we need to throw that term in there. Radical Islam.
Right.
It's a war against Islam. And they declared it.
That's right.
We didn't declare the war. We have freedom of religion here. They said, no, your freedom of religion is not good enough. We are going to fight it. And they declared war on us.
That's
the first thing we need to understand. The second thing we need to understand is that in this war, unless we actually fight it, we will lose.
That's right.
You can't win a war unless you fight it. And right now we're fighting a different war. We're actually fighting a different enemy than who we're
actually. Well, apparently it's the inanimate object of a gun that we're at war with,
yeah,
if you
exactly.
ask Congress or listen to the media, which is insane. If I had my druthers, we'd all be armed, because guess what? If anyone in that, you know, and they say, well, you know, how do you know for sure? Well, if everyone or half the people in that place would have been armed, someone would have taken him out.
You know, I was listening, and I don't say this often, but I was watching a show, and I was forced to listen to Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm.
And she came out and says, granted, we can all agree that guns don't kill people, people kill people. But can we agree that we need to get the assault weapons off? Well, if guns don't kill people, what does it matter what kind of gun it is?
That's right.
I think
we need to stand our ground, because really, remember, these politicians, this is just a red herring. The gun issue isn't even the issue, and they're trying to ignore what the issue is, maybe because they don't know how to fix it, maybe because they don't want to fix it, they don't know what to do, it's not politically expedient, they don't want to be framed as racist. I don't know what their motivation is, but making it about the guns is not... That's not even the issue. It never has been the issue. And that, you know, I always will remember, you know, President Obama's advisor saying, never let a crisis go to waste.
Yep.
And this is just another example of that mantra being used to try to outlaw guns. And, you know, people are talking about the no-fly zone. You know, I would encourage people to think about this. Whenever you pass a law or a policy of any kind, or give someone power of any kind, do that only when you seriously consider what happens when that power, law, or rule is in the hands of someone who hates your guts. Because if you make it that it's okay, the no-fly zone list or the terrorism list, all of a sudden those people can't get guns. Well, guess what? Homeland Security sees returning veterans, religious conservatives as potential terrorists. Do we get put on that? Do we not be able to get guns? You cannot give power to an agency or a person without acknowledging or considering that that could be used against you. And if you're not comfortable with it being used against you, then don't give them the power. We live in an unsafe world.
I'm going to cut you off here real
yeah,
quick. Just for this. This is always a fun call. We've got Walter on the line. I listened to, he calls Theron often. He called me last time I was on. He is always a fun call. And how you doing, Walter?
Hey, I didn't know you were a pastor.
Yes.
I was asking Derek. I said, who is this pastor? And he told me, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, you're the one. If they were on the show, I think you referred to me as reading the Rick James Bible.
Oh yeah, I use that terminology on people that twist the Bible and use their own perversion instead of.
But I don't do that. I promise you.
Right, I know you're quoting from the King James Bible. Well, that's kind of a little joke, but
I know it. If I didn't take it that way, I wouldn't have brought it up.
Right.
Hey, you want to talk about Islam?
Dig this, man. And, I'm coming from a black perspective, conservative, Christian. I can care less for all the titles, but I just want you guys to know that I'm on board with you guys. That's the only reason I would use I'm black. I can care less, but you can care less. I can tell, too. But Islam has been birthed out of the pits of hell.
I agree.
They were born out of hell. They got a false revelation from a false angel that don't exist. And remember, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about false angels, another gospel, angel of light. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yep. I know for a fact, Walter, you read the Bible because you said 2 Corinthians, not 2 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm. So. I wouldn't care if they followed whoever they right. want to if they weren't trying to kill us. I mean, if they want to have their own religion, follow their prophet, whatever. Honestly, that's what America, freedom of religion, it's all good until you try to kill me. And then I have a problem with it. So
Walter, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you, I'm asking as a pastor now, do you pray for ISIS and do you pray for the Muslims?
I sure do. I was convicted about that. I get convicted about that all the time because sometimes I tend to come on strong and it seems like I'm showing not nice enough. Our politicians want us to be nice. Some churches want us to be too nice. That's our problem with politics. That's why Donald Trump is not nice, and he's risen to the point where he's at because he had to warn Mitt Romney when Mitt Romney was going against Obama that, why are you calling Obama a nice guy, Mitt Romney? He had to correct Mitt Romney. That's the problem, y'all. We got too many nice people, and yes, as a nice Christian, I pray for them because that's commanded to pray for them. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, 3 to 5, whatever, and it says, first of all, the prayers and supplications be offered up to who? Those in authority.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be sinning against God if I didn't. But it's not the sloppy agape type of stuff either. I know it's Christians, sloppy, you got to show love, got to be nice. That's sloppy agape.
Yep,
love to your enemy that's trying to beat you down.
Yeah, I point to people that the Apostle Paul, he wasn't always so nice, was he? Just ask Peter.
Right.
Paul was willing to call out a problem when he saw it. We have to be willing to do the same.
I want them to be saved. That's our desire, that they be saved, their eyes be open. And they are getting saved, mostly in other countries. The problem is, you remember Obama? Let's take a little trip down memory lane. I don't forget nothing, though. And the Holy Spirit reminds us as Christians of things that were said. Jesus said that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
I bring things to your remembrance. You remember Obama? Do people really know how evil that man is? Let's talk about the sin nature. He's not a Christian. If he's a Christian, the devil's a Christian. Okay, let's get that straight. Just the statements he made alone, and like you guys mentioned about knowing them by their fruit, his fruit is corrupt, 100%, as far as I'm concerned. But he made a statement about if my daughter had a baby, you think if my daughter came up pregnant, do you think I would punish her with a baby? What was he promoting?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Murder.
Absolutely.
That's part of his fruit, his character, evil. What person in there, if I was a sinner, I wouldn't have made such a statement like that. And this person claiming to be a Christian. Well, Obama is the biggest deceiver, biggest fraud that's ever been perpetrated upon America in the form of a president.
Well, I guess in one sense you're right, because at least with Hillary Clinton, we know what we're getting. We have a little more proven track record of her her character and her spiritual walk or lack thereof.
Well, Hillary, I mean, if I was ever a Democrat, and I wasn't, not in heart, but I would say when Hillary said that this nation needs to redo the way we deal with religion, I'm trying to remember her exact words, but basically we had to rethink our religion stance on religion in this
country. Well, they're trying to undermine the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. You know, they're going after all of them. They think it's a living document that needs to be changed to suit their needs.
If I was to sit there and say if there was any amendment in the Constitution that I would like to see changed, is the one that's actually done the most damage. After it did the initial good, it continued. After the initial good, it did a whole lot of damage, and that's the 14th Amendment. Because there's a line in the 14th Amendment about freedom, the same freedoms for everyone. And what they did with that is state that state governments are now bound by the same laws as Congress.
Yes.
And what that did was eliminate the 10th. In reality, is what it, that's
well,
exactly
you know, the reality is though too is that people only get the power that you give them, and the states really, you know, people think that Michigan is a sovereign state, but you are not sovereign if 40% of your budget comes from the federal government. Well, it comes from us, but we give it to them and then we have to beg for it back. So when you talk about the 10th Amendment, you know, the states are going to have to stand up when it comes to many of these issues that we talk about, immigration, things like that. You know, the federal government dumping Syrian refugees into Michigan, dumping refugees all the time into Michigan, unvetted. Our state and our federal representatives and our state representatives need to partner and stand up against this because they're the ones that are supposed to have our back. They're the ones that are supposed to be fighting for Michigan to be a sovereign state again.
Hey, Walter, I want to thank you real quick for calling in. It's always a pleasure.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the problem with we have no more states' rights. Actually, we pretty much lost states' rights a long time ago. We fight for them, and we continue to fight for them, but we're not back. And here's what's going to happen, and where that folds into what we've been talking about is as long as we have the federal government making declarations, it's going to open that door to more Islamic terrorism. Why? Because they fail to admit we're at war with Islam. States cannot take their own actions. If a state wants to sit there and say, no Syrian refugees, they can't. We can sit there and say, no Syrian refugees, but guess what? Supreme Court says, no, they can go wherever they want.
Well, then I would be asking why our attorney general is not taking that up, because, you know, that's part of his job is to protect us.
Right. It is. And I'll tell you, I know Bill. Bill's a wonderful man. And he's fought a number of battles with Washington, and I'm sure he's taken this one up too, and he's lost. But there's only so much we as a state are allowed to do anymore. And we cannot protect our people as a state from these same terrorists that we're fighting because we have a federal government that's opening the door to them and saying, we're inviting them in. They have equal justice under the Constitution, which, by the way, the Constitution was written for American citizens, not for the rest of the world.
Well, and that's where it comes back to, really, it's about personal protection.
Right.
It's about making sure that you can protect your family and protect yourself, because it is. It's coming to, I mean, Michigan was on that list. They released it. They said their next five targets, and Michigan is one of the next five states that they have pledged to target. Where's that going to be? What's going to happen? We can't live in fear. We have to live our lives. But, you know, I think if you have not gotten a CPL, now is the time. If you don't have a shotgun at your house, now is the time to make sure you can protect your family, learn how to use it, get trained, take the right classes. But we have an obligation to make sure we can protect ourselves and protect our family.
Yeah. I do, and we're running a little bit on short time, but we still have quite a, well, we still got 7 minutes. I want to make this statement. I may not be willing to participate in a gay marriage. I know I will not perform the service for a gay marriage. My belief doesn't allow for it. But I will mourn for those lost in Orlando, and I will mourn for those families.
Because they were Americans first.
Yes.
I mean, one part of their life, and we don't even know that they were all gay, because a lot of people that aren't gay go to in fact, one person that was there I know is a mother, and she's married. She went with her brother. So we don't even know all their stories, but we do know that they're all Americans who deserved better. They did not deserve to die and be shot by a terrorist. They did not deserve that, and we mourn with them.
And I just want people to understand, it was not the gun that the Islam terrorist took in with him that killed those people. It was the terrorist that killed them. And it's kind of sad, because the rhetoric on this is actually, on the left, is actually being effective. I talked to a pastor friend of mine down in Newport, very dear friend. He's been a mentor of mine my whole life. And he says, you know, maybe we need to give in on the assault weapons just to make the left happy. Maybe that will shut them up. And I said, no, that won't. That will just cause a slippery slope.
No.
And the thing with the left, if you give them an inch, they will go for not a mile, but for 10 miles.
Well, they've already been doing that, and they're very patient and incremental. What we need to do is stand firm. We need to stand firm and repeat our talking points, and it's uncomfortable, and it's going to they're going to rage around us, and we need to know why we stand where we stand firm and in peace and assuredness where our faith and our reliance is on, and not be afraid of the left and all the things that they bring on.
You know, I think everyone needs to understand this. Now, I was a young man in the 60s. When I say young man, I was still wearing shorts and barefoot running through sandboxes.
I do that now. What are you talking about?
Right. I don't because I'm ancient now. But I grew up realizing that people need to be able to stand for something. Mm-hmm. And if you can't stand for something, if you're just moving along to get along and you don't have something you believe in, you need to really search your heart. Because there's no doubt in my mind, everyone out there has something in their heart that they know that they should be standing for, but they're too afraid to.
Right.
And we're in a time in this world where fear has no place. If you don't stand for what you believe in, you will lose it.
Go big or go home. Yep. I mean, you get one life, drink deeply. And, you know, we're part of it's because we're so busy with our families. But I want my children to know and their children to know that when I had the chance, I stood up for our country. When I had the chance, I stood up for my values. And I'm not perfect. I make mistakes like everybody else. But to the best of my ability, I stood strong for my beliefs and my values. And I want to be on the right side of that history.
You know, this is going to sound... I went into a McDonald's. Maybe I shouldn't say the name of the place. I went into a fast food restaurant. And we'll forget I even said the name of the restaurant. I went into a fast food restaurant. And I served in the Navy, and I was wearing a Navy camouflage shirt. And the lady came up, and she asked me if I actually served in the Navy. And I said, yes. And she climbed, yelled at me, called me all sorts of names. You would have thought I just got off the plane from Vietnam.
Wow.
Very, you know, do you understand all the innocent people you're killing out in the Middle East and everything? I mean, just very rude.
Wow.
And the management was extremely nice. They were going to throw her out. And I says, no, we went to war her to say exactly what she just said, to have those freedoms. And I looked at her and I says, at least you're willing to stand for what you believe in, even if it's not what I agree with.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not what the management here agrees with because they bought my lunch.
Oh,
that was really cool of them. But
you're much more reserved than I am. If I ran into Hillary in a dark alley or this woman, there'd be problems.
No, if we can't have freedom of speech unless we are willing to hear those that disagree
Absolutely.
With us.
Absolutely, you're right. That's true.
And I take that very seriously. I was actually proud of the fact that she was able to say that to me without being arrested,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Or fearful, apparently.
Or fearful of saying it, because right. she was very clear of her disdain and her hatred towards me. But I could look at her and accept it. She mm-hmm. didn't get physical.
You
I
weren't
could take
offended
her freedom.
By it? Because it doesn't matter, right? Because we
doesn't
have freedom
really matter.
Of speech.
We have freedom of speech.
That's right.
I can be offended. I'm offended by things people say all the
it's
time.
It's not freedom from being offended. It's freedom
right.
of speech.
Right. So, listen, it is Father's Day. I do want to wish, again, the fathers out there, a happy Father's Day. For all of you out there, I also want to remind you of another Father, the Almighty God. He is your Father. The question is, are you willing to be His child? And with that in mind, I'd like to thank Wendy for coming along. You have any parting words? We have a minute. Go ahead and use it up.
Yeah, I just want to thank all the fathers out there, too, especially my husband, Kevin. And, you know, fathers make a difference. They matter. And we're grateful for good fathers. And, again, like you said, our Heavenly Father, who never lets us down, who never fails, who is good and holy and righteous in all things.
Amen, sister. You all have a blessed day and happy Father's Day.